And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 737, continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We head to the AL East, to a team that is usually in the playoff running year in and year out because of shrewd business skills to lock up a lot of young talent and circle it with some veterans. That is the Atlanta Braves. So we're going to talk about them today. In order to help me break down the 2025 Atlanta Braves, is a good friend of mine. I've had the luxury of meeting him in First Pitch Arizona a few times. If you know him, you love him. Not just the accent. He's a great guy as well. You can find him on the Palazzo podcast. He's on Twitter at Britton Allen. Britton Allen, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. I love it. Yeah, we met in First Pitch Arizona. And let me just give your listeners just a picture. They already know you're a nice guy, but let me just expand on like my personal interaction with Bubba. He was sitting at a table minding his own business, drinking beer and eating nachos. I come over, say hello, literally start eating his nachos. And he was just a nice guy. He just shared nachos, have a beer, totally cool. But always a pleasure to see you and talk to you. And one of these days I'll buy you some nachos, I promise, for helping myself to dinner.
It's all good. It was great that we shared those nachos because we didn't go hurt ourselves playing wiffle ball like everybody else at that point in time. So it was a smart move, I believe, on us. And we had your wonderful wife with us as well to enjoy the party. So it was a
calculated decision.
Exactly.
Not to get injured and instead drink beer and eat nachos. It's kind of the story of my life. If I ever write my autobiography, beer and nachos is probably going to be on the title page.
Yeah, somewhere food and drinks outweigh a lot of other decisions in life. And it's got me where I'm at here. Good or bad, we don't know. But it's gotten me this far, that's for sure. Before we get into the Atlanta Braves, let everybody know what you got going on over there. I always say the Palazzo podcast, have some fun with it, but the Palooza podcast, Palazzo podcast, lots of ways to say it, but it's a great show with the boys.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's complicated. It's got a long history where that name came from, but it was the idea of the Michael Govier who started it. And then he asked me to host, which I was so excited about. So I've been doing that for a couple years. And Mike Virginia is also a co-host too. He started around, and it's the three of us talking fantasy baseball, talking all kinds of things. It's pretty loose, but we try to keep it baseball, fantasy baseball oriented. It's a lot of fun. If you would check us out, go to our YouTube page, Palazzo, two L's, two Z's, as we say, Palazzo. If you wouldn't mind, maybe clicking on the subscriber button, not to get too Carl, used car salesman here, but if you like a Bubba in the Bloom, I think you might like Palazzo too, because it's just fun. And also, if you would follow me too, it's just my name, Britton Allen, Britton Allen. So, thanks for having me on, Bubba.
Always, always a pleasure. So let's talk Atlanta Braves here. It's a team that going into last season, we thought would be the best offense in fantasy. We wanted all the shares. Things didn't quite work out that way between a Ronald Acuna injury and just some poor production if you're not named Marcell Ozuna, essentially. Mm-hmm. But I think we all know these guys are super talented. So we're expecting a bounce back in this regard. Not to mention a pitching staff that's pretty good, but has some changes. They have the NL Cy Young winner, but they have a former, basically, Cy Young type arm maybe coming back. They lose Max Fried. A lot of moving pieces, but still a very good team, as we talked about. So let's just get right to it. Let's talk about the man out the gate in Ronald Acuna Jr. Ronald Acuna Jr. over like the last 10 or so drafts in the DCs, if keeping track of homes, I'm using a DC ADP from January 27th, but it's just a reference point. At this point in time, Acuna still has an ADP right now. Where the heck did it go? I just went blind all of a sudden. He has an ADP of 32.5 over those last sets of drafts here. We're seeing videos of him hitting bombs all over spring training right now with a big brace on his knee, let's mention. Where are you sitting on him come draft day right now?
Ronald Acuna Jr., like every person in every draft has to make that decision. When you're in the third round of a 15-team draft and hold, or maybe a little bit later in like a 12 or 10-team league, when do I start to think about drafting Ronald Acuna Jr.? 27 years old. Obviously, he had that boom. Well, he's had two boom seasons, but his big boom season, you know, he stole 70 bases and hit 40 home runs in 2023. That's about as boom as you can get by anybody not named Ohtani. But, of course, the two red flags, he's had ACL surgery in both knees, not one but two. So, you know, he is young. He's super talented. But I don't think you can risk it in a 15-team draft and hold league in a third-round pick because of they're going to bring him back slowly. They've said that on record. They're going to be cautious with him. So, you know, does he start in May or does he start in, you know, who knows? It's just a lot of uncertainty. Now, if you're drafting in a 10 or 12 team league with IL spots, grab Acuna, grab him and put him on your IL because there is a chance that, you know, he is his old self and plays his way into his old self. Now, if you look at the projections, the Bad X has him at 26 home runs, 38 stolen bases. I would bet all the tea in China that he does not get anywhere near 38 stolen bases this year. I would take the under, bet the house, bet the mortgage on that. But if you look at his production through the years, two boom years, two injury years, one COVID year, that's 5 years. But other than that, he's generally a, you know, 25 home run, 15 stolen base player, which is valuable. That's, you know, that's third round production, fourth round production. But that, but wouldn't that put him kind of in the Lawrence Butler range?
Yeah.
You know, the Wyatt Langford range.
Yep.
Brenton Doyle range. I would take all those guys ahead of Ronald Acuna, which means I'm probably not drafting him, which is fine. You know, if you want to draft Ronald Acuna in the third round, that's what you have to do. But I would wait and draft Lawrence Butler two rounds later, round five. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm 100% on board. Like I am a very, very cautious drafter, especially early on, and there's a lot of questions still with Acuna. And you nailed one of the biggest things. Like we all love to use projections, and projections show Ronald stealing so many bases, and I just don't see it. Even when he came back from the injury the first time, like people go, oh, look what he did. No, that was the second year after he came back from the injury. I expect, you know, he's going to hit. I'm not going to be surprised if he hits well, but the speed I just don't see happening unless he's just got like the most miracle knee recovery I've ever seen. So I'd rather, you know, like you said, take a Lawrence Butler who maybe takes another step in the right direction. All these young players we've seen do it for now. They're healthy. So on and so forth. Like, I love Wyatt Langford. I'm still surprised he's going that late. You mentioned a lot of really good names there. So, yeah, I'm passing on Acuna as well at that point in time.
Yeah, and I love Ronald Acuna Jr. And he's, like I said, he's only 27. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the year he takes it, eases his self mentally. Oh, and hey, we're going down Narrative Street right here. Yeah. I've never met Ronald Acuna, but we do know he's a fiery, you know, a competitive guy, but I think they're going to give him days off. I believe that they're going to be cautious with him because if he has another knee injury, it may be career over situation, and that's, they can't even remotely let that happen. So yeah, I would go for one of those other outfielders that have upside and, you know, knees that haven't been surgically repaired already.
I'm with you. Michael Harris, the second, looks to potentially lead off while Acuna is out. And Michael Harris is one of those guys that every year people are like, look, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's got 2020 potential, which we saw for a couple years, got close last year, not so much, but missed a lot of time versus injury again for second time out of three seasons. And the batting average took a dip last year. ADP is still 41. You still have to pretty much pay a nice price if you like Michael Harris. I still just don't get Michael Harris on my team, and it could be a flaw of mine. But where do you sit on Michael Harris as a guy that seems to always have more hype than the production returns?
I've never drafted Michael Harris the second in any draft in these past 3 years. But you look at his history, he's, like you said, he's essentially a 2020 guy, not last year. But then for whatever reason, everything came up craps on the Braves last year, other than Marcelo Zuna, who we'll get to, which – you know, he doesn't get craps. He just keeps producing year after year after year. But Michael Harris the second, yeah, his Statcast is red. Like, why haven't I been drafting this guy? Shouldn't Michael Harris be in the Wyatt Langford, Lawrence Butler, Brenton Doyle conversation? Batting leadoff for the Braves, that's a great place to be. And you figure most of the Braves are going to bounce back and have a rebound from last year, because everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But Michael Harris, like, he's talented. He hits the ball hard. His batting average, like, everything, like, all the numbers back it up. Like, yeah, if somebody said, you know, would you bet on Michael Harris 2020? I'd say yes. I would take that bet. But yeah, he's just kind of, he's not talked about in that same, you know, Jackson Merrill, Flash, Lawrence Butler, Brenton Doyle, but he's just as talented. And I think he's going to have this may be the breakout year. He's young. Yeah, I need to get some more Michael Harris. The more I'm looking at it, I need to get some more Michael Harris in my life.
Yeah, Bloom has always been a big guy that tells me I need to do that as well. Knock on wood, it's worked out for me so far. But you feel like what you're saying is eventually it's gonna happen. And I'm with you there, because everything points in that direction. And if the Braves start clicking, maybe it clicks for Harris as well. Let's go to second base, a guy that not too long ago was hitting 30-plus home runs and stealing 20 bases. Then he got a pretty big injury last year, came back towards the end for a little bit, didn't really pan out in that regard, and that's Ozzie Albies. Looks to be healthy entering camp this year, ADP of 66, so he's going around the Jose Altuve world at second base, if that's something you're into. Where are you standing on Ozzie Albies this season?
I love Ozzie Albies. I have a T-shirt with Ozzie Albies on it. I have a baseball card. One of the first autograph cards I bought years ago was Ozzie Albies. I think he's awesome. He's from Curaçao. That's awesome. Curaçao, a beautiful Caribbean island, where for some reason it's teeny tiny, and yet Andrew Jones and can you name any other Curaçaoan players?
Well, you're going to say Andrelton Simmons, so I knew you were going there, but no, I cannot.
I'll give you a hint. There's one on the Braves that he's teammates with.
Ozzie Albies' teammate?
Yeah.
I'm Curaçao. I don't know.
Mr. Profar.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yes, it's wild. This teeny tiny little island creates Major League Baseball players that are kind of stars. But I'm sorry, I digress. But I love Ozzie Albies, but I'm not drafting him this year. 28 years old. He's had two boom years, 2021 and 23, three bust years. And then the rest, he's kind of like 24 home runs, 15 stolen bases. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you're getting zero discount on Ozzie Albies. And second base is, I think, the weakest position to draft. I do. So I'm skipping Ozzie Albies because he's, what, the second baseman, maybe the third second baseman.
Yeah, second or third. He's going in that Altuve range, because Marte goes at 31, then it goes to Albies and Altuve in that next little pocket. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I my personal opinion, no, I don't think so. I think because he's not batting first, second, or third in the lineup. I mean, so we're talking sixth or seventh, which, you know, no big deal, but that's not good for him. And you know, the speed's kind of been down. It's just, there's no upside there. So my plan, like, Marcus Semien had not a great year last year, but the Texas Rangers lineup is better. They added Berger. Langford, you know, we both talk about as he's going to start playing really well. Like, I can't remember, maybe when he was in Oakland, but I can't remember drafting Marcus Semien. We're talking ADP 80, 90. Yep. Like, this may be the year. I've done it in some. I know that you are a NFBC drafter too. So am I, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm drafting Marcus Semien. Like, yeah, I'm drafting Marcus Semien. If for some reason I miss out on him, then the Luis Garcia Jr., which a lot of people like, the batting average, like a 280 hitter. Like, keep that under wraps, you know. Like, we don't want exactly. people to know that. That's a huge deal. With a 2020 guy who did start against lefties later in the year, like for the second, he did start against lefties. And then if I miss out, then I'll target Brandon Lowe or Lau. lefty power bat hitting in Florida for the first half of the season. My plan is kind of like to draft Brendan Lau much later, and then like by the time Marcus Semien starts heating up, like in, you know, All-Star break, then I can switch out Lau and put Semien in. That's kind of my plan for second base. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I love Albies as well, but I'm not drafting him at that price point. It's just not happening. I'm not even drafting Ketel Marte before him. The second base position is kind of a wasteland, but it's a lot of similar pieces as you go down. And Semien's one of the first ones. Like, we're on the same page on a lot of that because I never draft him, but at that ADP, a little more enticing. Love Garcia quite a bit. And if not, there's just a bunch of guys you can kind of grab later, and they're all kind of the same. So I got no problems kind of skipping that position. And maybe Albies bounces back, but I don't know if he's ever going to be that guy we once thought he was going to be.
Yeah, don't like him batting sixth or seventh.
No, drains him. Matt Olson, a guy, another Brave that had a down season. He had 29 home runs, which for him is a down season. Hit 247, 98 RBIs. Didn't even crack the 100 RBIs for the first time in the previous three seasons, which he did. But Matt Olson, you still have to pay for. ADP's around 40 right now. So, you know, it's the Olson, Big Meat Pete conversation we always have. It's do you want these guys that aren't going to steal a ton of bases? Like Olson had zero steals, for instance, last year. Where do you sit on Matt Olson as a potential rebounder and interest in fantasy?
I like him a lot. Matt Olson, in a down year, hits 29 home runs. Okay. But like you said, he's a zero in stolen bases. I'm waiting on first base. Like, I think Mountcastle, you can get 15 rounds later, who may be within striking range of 29 home runs, if not more. Also, like Talia, who does steal bases, his batting average is a drain. But if you draft Marcelo Zuna or Brent Rooker or something like that with a 300 average, you can kind of offset that. So I also like Tyler Soderstrom late if you're in a pinch. He's first base. He's going to play first base for the A's all year. Hitting and beautiful. Bubba, I know you live in California, but West Sacramento, California, it gets hot.
Yeah. I grew up about 10 minutes from that stadium. I was there opening day when it was built for the Rivercats. I know that place. I know that place very well.
Sutton Health?
It used to be called Rayleigh Field. Now it's Sutter Health Park or something like that. And so whenever I hear people say it's a pitcher's park, I laugh. I'm like, okay, maybe because of the batter's eye, which they've taken out already because they're doing things. It is so dang hot. Like, it's miserable.
It's a pitcher's park when you're a minor league hitter batting seventh for the Reno Flying Aces. Yeah, it's a pitcher. Yeah. Every place is a pitcher's park. It's not a pitcher's park if you're a major league hitter, power hitter. No such thing as a minor league pitcher's park for a major league hitter. So, Soderstrom is a guy that you can get late. So I don't think you need to reach on Matt Olson at that ADP. I think, especially on a draft and hold, like, I'm hitting outfield hard. Like, the Lawrence Butlers of the world, Merrill, like, those power speed guys, get that. You know, draft one of those guys or Langford in that Matt Olson spot, and then wait on Mountcastle, Tolia, or Soderstrom later.
Totally agree with you there. All right, here is the guy that got her done last year, and that's Marcelo Zuna. 39 home runs, played in 162 games, by the way, which is impressive.
Crazy, right?
Triple, 104 RBIs, 100 plus back-to-back. Hit 302. Just everything across the board went up beautifully outside of steals because he doesn't steal. Ozuna has an ADP of 72 now. Are we back in on him at this ADP?
100%. The reason why he's not drafted more is because zero steals, and sure, that's the thing, but he provides consistent, you know, in the heart of the Braves lineup. And even on a down Braves year, he's still performed. He got his numbers. He's going to get his numbers again. Oh, Marcelo Ozuna, but it's also utility. So you would theoretically, those util guys, obviously Otani's number one, but then Marcelo Ozuna, Rooker, and Schwarber. Schwarber's is also interesting. His batting average ticked up a little bit. You know, he wasn't like a 200 wasteland. It was what like 220, 230, 225, like not great, but man, Ozuna, that 300 batting average. Like last year, the teams that were the most successful for me, for whatever reason, I had Rooker, and Ozuna on those teams, and with that batting average 300 buoy, dude, you know that it gets you great points. Yeah, it's huge because batting average is tough to think about, and you know that's one of my areas of weakness among many, if you know what I mean. But but as far as fantasy baseball goes, yeah, Marcell Ozuna should be drafted higher in every single draft. He's like the Freddie Freeman, except he's not injured. And he's running, and not to bag on Freddie Freeman, he's awesome. But you know what I mean. He's like Freddie Freeman is in the second round. Marcell Ozuna, same thing, if not better, frankly, you know, in round six or seven.
Yep, no, I'm with you on that as well. Like, I haven't taken a lot of Ozuna yet just because of where he's going in the draft. I'm usually targeting something else at that point in time. But everything he's doing, I believe it's going to keep going. That's the one thing people argue is he's getting old. Maybe it won't keep – you know, this production won't stay the same. I'm still there, so I'm not worried about that at all. So we'll see how that plays out.
Big Poppy.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, just, you know, keep them off the field. They can maybe stay healthy a little longer type thing. All right, third base, Austin Riley. This is another guy that got hurt last year, was starting to get it going after a slow first half before he got hurt, still at 19 home runs, over 110 games. Riley has an ADP close to 30 right now, so price hasn't changed much, but even with the down season, are we back in on Austin Riley?
No, no way. It's so strange. Like I like Austin Riley a lot. He's on one of my auto new leagues, and he had a down year last year with injuries, but you are getting zero discount after a bad year. He's being drafted just as if he hit 40 home runs and everything's hunky dory. And it's weird. You know, I'm not, I like Austin Riley a lot, but why draft him at his ADP when you can get Alex Bregman later, like a lot later? And you know, he's landed in a great spot, for a third baseman, or if you wanted, or a Jake Berger, you know, I like Jake Berger too. You can get later. I don't think you need to reach on third base, and I like Austin Riley to have a bounce back, but you know, you can get Berger, you can get Bregman. I'm fine with those guys instead of Austin Riley. Or sneakily, not sneakily, because I'm a lot of people say this, but Isak Paredes. The path, the runway is clear, friends. Like, there's Bregman's not coming back. Like, Isak Paredes has the power. He's going to hit in Houston. He's going to probably bat second or third, depending on where Altuve bats or whatever. But I mean, he's in a prime position to have a 30 home run season that you can get way later than Austin Riley. Now, I know Austin Riley is a legit power hitter with a track record, and Paredes, you know, is an extreme pull hitter that's done it once at Tampa Bay, which, you know, that stadium unfortunately lost its – I was going to say lost its helmet. Stadiums don't wear helmets as far as I know. I think it lost its roof, unfortunately. Yep. But so, yeah, no, I'm not reaching on Austin Riley. What do you think?
I'm not, for a couple reasons. Like, yeah, he's a 40 home run bat. For the most part, it's just the way I draft where he's going. I'm taking steals still. I hate leaving with just empty production early on for the most part. So, like you said, I'm getting shortstops, or I'm getting outfielders or things along those lines as I'm drafting right there. And then I fall back at third base, and I go, like, heck, I'd even go after – I know Riley's better than this guy, but much later, you get like a Matt Chapman, an Eugenio Suarez, like all these kind of guys. Like, I like the Paredes call. You can get a lot of these types of players that, yes, Riley probably hits for better average than all of those guys. That's fine. Probably hits, you know, 5 to 10 more home runs. But what I'm giving up in the trade-off, I'll take all day long, and that's kind of how I've been drafting this season and most seasons when it comes to Austin Riley, unfortunately.
I think you and I would both bet that Austin Riley is going to have a bounce back year. He was injured. Yes. It just wasn't work. It wasn't the Braves year last year, so he's going to bounce back and have a good year. But I mean, that ADP is crazy. Like, you would think you would get a discount, but obviously he's so talented and everybody knows it. And they also know that he's country strong, Bubba. Mm-hmm. I believe my and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Austin Riley went to Mississippi State, which is in beautiful Starkville, Mississippi, which I've been to. a friend of mine from high school, she went there, and I went and visited her. We went to a football game, and we were hungover like nobody's business. And at the football games, she didn't tell me this, but they wave cowbells.
Oh, geez.
They have cowbells in the stands. I'm like, I'm way too hungover to handle this situation. Even back then, I was like, this isn't happening. So, you know, shout out to all you Mississippi State fans out there. God bless you. But
yeah, hungover with the Cowboys, the cowbells would be
ain't doing it.
That's rough.
And no offense to anyone that likes a cowbell. I'm from Tennessee. You know, there cows outnumber people here. But yeah, but no, I can't handle that, the ringing of the bells. But tangent on Austin Riley. So I'm going to have to, I think he's going to have a good year, but you know, I'm going to draft Jake Berger later, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Lots of burger in my world. Not just the food. Jerickson Profar, new Atlanta Brave, Curaçao native, apparently.
Yes, sir.
Jerickson Profar coming off a career year with the San Diego Padres all-star season, going to be 32, got paid to come play for the Braves. And now he comes in with an ADP of 192, which seems pretty ridiculously cheap. So how are we feeling there?
Steal. He's a steal at that ADP. He's going to probably bat at the top of the order. He's going to play every day. They went out and they got him. They made a decision to go out and get him. Hey, Bubba, could you imagine 2-3 years ago, maybe not even 3 years ago, if someone had said to you, hey, Bubba, Jerickson Profar and Jared Kelnick are going to be on the same team, and Profar is going to be way more valuable than Jared Kelnick, you would have laughed in that person's face.
That's why it's so fun what we do, man. Because we can
never know. That's it. You're exactly right. That's the spice of life, isn't it?
Yep.
So congratulations for Profar. Like, if you look at his Statcast page, this isn't a fluke. For whatever reason, He hits the ball well. He hits it hard. It's red. All the algorithms and metrics back up, you know, his success. And he's on the Braves. They're going to have a bounce back season, I believe. He's got a full time job. 200 ADP. Yeah, that's why I like Jerickson Profar a lot. I think he's going to have be not a Cedric Mullins situation, but I think he's going to be a 2020 player that you get, you know, later.
Yep, I'm with you. I love the ADP for him. I'm surprised it hasn't actually climbed up more yet, but we'll see when Fab draft season begins. Let's go behind the plate here. Sean Murphy, a catcher I usually don't draft at all just because he platoons, he gets hurt. He had the one phenomenal year in Oakland, has not panned out in Atlanta. I will say this much, though. There's no Travis d'Arnaud in town anymore. The backup situation is not there yet. They have Baldwin, which we might get to later.
Yeah. But
I think for now, it's the Sean Murphy show, as long as he can stay healthy. And his ADP is 216. He used to cost a fortune behind the dish. I still don't have a lot of shares, but I understand the inclination to like him now compared to before when I said not a chance.
I'm still in the not a chance with his injury history. For whatever reason, it's just not working out. So Chadwick Tromp,
that
is the backup, which I think means Drake Baldwin is going to be, you know, on the active roster maybe before the All-Star break. Like we'll see, but with Sean Murphy's injury history and, you know, he's a good catcher, but he's just not good for fantasy, I don't think. So yeah, but I'm not drafting Sean Murphy even in two catcher leagues. Actually, especially not in two catcher leagues. Come to think of it, but and he's kind of the reason. Him and Chadwick are the reason why I'm taking a flyer in every single draft. And I would never recommend taking but you know, in NFBC leagues, when you're starting two catchers, generally you draft four in a 50 round draft and hold. I don't mind that fourth catcher being Drake Baldwin. Yeah. You know, we saw him at the AFL, like he can hit. So, you know, him or Moises Ballesteros are two catchers. I don't mind taking that fourth round, you know, when you're desperate and it's like round 48 and you're like, oh, it's between Cal Contrell and Drake Baldwin. I'm like, yes, whatever. Who cares? Drake Baldwin, you know, one of those situations.
Now, I like Baldwin a lot. There's a handful of these prospect catchers, as you mentioned, that are very, very enticing late in these drafts. The thing with Baldwin, I believe he will get a shot at some point this year. I also believe it won't be to start the year because they want to probably give him more runway, not just sit there on the bench, like let him go get his reps at AAA until they might have an avenue to some playing time. But I'm with you on all these things. And I think Murphy, platoons might be in his life. Orlando Arcia, the last couple of years, every draft season, people go, Orlando Arcia stinks. And I get it. He had 218 last year, 264 the year before. He's had 17 home runs both year. Not saying you need to go run to draft Orlando Arcia, but he's going to play every day. Pretty much. And he's going to play every day for a very good team. We can imagine this year. He's going to play at a shortstop position. He can get him an ADP of 426 right now. Like in DCs, a starting shortstop at 426 is gold. Yep. In fab leagues, 15s, maybe he's a middle infielder or you just waiver wire fodder. But I'm just trying to say before I give you the floor here, there's a lot to like at his price tag when it comes to Orlando Arcia.
Yeah, I agree. Like, so he's a draft and hold. Mm-hmm. Player to draft. He starts on the Braves. He's going to bat ninth or eighth, somewhere at the bottom. But barring injury, like you said, he's going to play every day. There's value there in a draft and hold league. Agreed. He's going to be probably one of the last starting shortstops drafted in every draft and hold league. Maybe not. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if you had to pick like Miguel Rojas or Orlando Arcia. You know, you're picking Orlando Arcia, right?
Yeah.
Trey Sweeney.
I might
go Sweeney on that.
Yeah, one. I like Trey's upside, but he's going to platoon at least to start the year.
Great point. I hear what you're saying, but no, there's value in Orlando Arcia. Remember when they brought up old Nacho Alvarez for a minute?
Yes.
Nachos. Yeah, there you go. Nacho Alvarez is not going to take his playing time. So yeah, barring injury, do you want a player like Wilmer Flores or that may DH? Like if you had that decision, like Wilmer Flores, and you know things get real thin in a 50 round draft. Well, you're like Wilmer Flores or Orlando Arcia. I think you're taking Orlando Arcia
all day long, and don't get me started on Wilmer Flores because. They're already saying they want him to DH over Jerry Encarnacion, and I'm like, just shoot me to the moon already. We haven't even started the year yet. They need to give up on this Wilmer Flores thing. He's a backup at best. Let's just get over this already.
He's had good years.
Yes, but it's time to move on. It's time to get some youth in this team and see what happens.
Apparently, they're not into youth, and I love Justin Verlander. Don't get me wrong, but that's not exactly the youth situation to.
Yeah, the Giants podcast will be recording in a week or so. And folks, if you want to hear depressing, I'll be on that one. So we got that for you.
Willie Adames. There's nothing.
Yeah, that's about that. Well, it's going to start out optimistic for like four players, and then it's just going to start petering the other direction. The only other guys I got here, I got Jared Kelenic. He's supposed to platoon with Brian De La Cruz again. That might only be until Ronald Acuna comes back. At the same time, do we have any interest in a Kelenic or a Brian De La Cruz right now?
None.
Yeah,
I mean, other than like later in a draft and hold, because it's literally no one else that you even remotely like anywhere close to that ADP. So yeah, no, not Kelenic, not Brian De La Cruz. I would pass on that.
All right, let's head to the mound real quick. Here we got Spencer Strider coming off the brace procedure. There's videos of him throwing off a mound already. We know he's going to miss the start of the year, but the recent reports say maybe late April, which is ahead of schedule compared to what everybody saw. His ADP right now is 118. I hate drafting guys coming off Tommy John. There's just, and I haven't done it yet, but I keep looking at that price tag and I'm thinking it's only going to miss like four starts. Is that what we're going with here? Mm-hmm. So where do you sit on Spencer Strider? Cause I haven't done it and I probably won't, but it's the first time where I've kind of thought about it, let's put it that way.
I thought about it too because I read a report the other day that he may start a Grapefruit League start and then you know kind of get him built up, but then you read into it like he's had Tommy John and he didn't have another Tommy John, but he had a bracing procedure, mm-hmm. which is like Tommy John light, and so this is two UCL injuries, which, you know, that ligament runs from your hand to your shoulder. All right, so that's two injuries recently, and they're acting like he's coming back in May. Like, I don't know. I'm in a void because I think in this particular year there are players, you know, in the back in the draft, like Reese Olson,
yes,
like Justin Steele, you know, there are Grant Holmes, there are you know, Tobias Myers. Like, there are people back towards the other end of the draft where I kind of, you know, that are healthy and kind of on the come up, where drafting a pitcher who had a brace procedure, like Spencer Strider could come out and be the old Spencer, but for how long? Yes. Like, let's say he comes back and he has five good starts. Does that mean he has 20 good starts? No. Does, you know, if you had to, Bubba, if you had to take the over under of how many starts Spencer Strider had this year, let's say it was 15, would you take over or under? And I guess quality, you know, sixth inning.
Yeah, it's like quality.
Yeah, starts. Define quality. Like, I'm not sure.
No, I see what you're saying. 15's fair. Oh, man. I'm going to go. Oh, man, that is good. I'm going to go over, but I don't feel great about it. Let's put it that way.
If you got 15 starts out of Spencer's quality starts out of Spencer Strider, you've won that bet.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make that bet. I'm going to shoot for some other guys later.
Yep.
And it's just too risky. You know, but that's also the fun of the draft. Like, you know, I was talking on one pod the other day, and I was like, if you're in one of those big money, you know, main event leagues, and you're throwing down $1,200 or whatever it is, and you draft, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. in the first round, Jazz Chisholm in the second round, Ronald Acuna in the third, and then Spencer Strider in the fourth round, just, you know,
yep,
putting it all on the line. That's one of those glory moves. Like, it's like the Dr. Pepper half court shot for $1 million by a 10-year-old. All or
nothing.
Yeah, can it happen? I'm sure it can. Is it going to? No.
Yeah.
I like Spencer Strider, but not this year. I think you let him. You see how this year goes, and then reevaluate next year for that high a draft price.
I'm with you on that one. Let's go to the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner.
Are we getting boring in our old age? Like, we don't like Acuna.
I've been that way forever.
Are we getting a little cautious here?
I've always been cautious. People hate it, but that's just what I do. And probably part of my problem, I don't win overalls or anything, but I contend. So we'll dance, see where it goes.
Chris, I just don't want to be hurt.
Yeah,
no,
I don't want to be
Spencer Strider. I get hurt plenty where else.
Exactly. Eat too many nachos with jalapenos. It hurts later. Chris Sale, coming off that Cy Young year, made 29 starts, 177 innings, was just absolutely ridiculous. I'm terrified. Can he do it again at age 36? But I guess you got to believe he can if you do. ADP's 38, where we standing on him, because there are quote-unquote safer picks going around him at pitcher.
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez, you know, we could do that. There will be 0.0 Chris Sale shares on any of my leagues. I wouldn't say he's my number one avoid, but he's probably top three. The way he'll be 36 coming into this season. I think he's 35 now, but he'll be 36. He ended the year injured. Not only that, but he couldn't come back for the playoffs. Like, he couldn't. Like, they couldn't give him enough drugs or, you know, injections and stuff like that. And remember that clubhouse scene where he had a bad start in the minor leagues and he went nuts, you know, in the clubhouse. Like, this is a guy that wants to play, but he physically couldn't. It kind of reminds me of Max Scherzer a little bit, unfortunately. But Chris Sale is very talented, but absolutely not. Like, I'm not sure of much, but I am sure that he had a great season last year, and the risk of injury is so high based on how he ended last year, his age and everything, all the pitches he's thrown on that lefty arm, like 0.0 shares for me for Chris Sale. Do you think that's too hard line?
Nope. I'm pretty close to you on that one. I don't have a share yet, and I've done probably 15 drafts. So it's just, I just go right past that in that situation. Plus I take hitters there. That's just my world.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Lopez, a guy that, you know, was originally a starter, goes to the bullpen, gets some success, goes back to starting, pitched very well for the Braves last year, spent some time on the IL, which was kind of expected. I don't feel warm and fuzzy about him as well this year, but his ADP is 160, so it's more palatable potentially. How do you feel on Ronaldo Lopez? Like, do you just take the one, you know, the 120 innings hopefully and move on, or are you concerned about anything else?
I'm not concerned. He did go on the IL, but he came back.
Yeah,
and he pitched well. He looked like himself pre-injury. I like that a lot. That's a great sign. Undervalued is how I – if that's one word, right? Yeah, no hyphen. Sure, yeah. Maybe I should go to read a book or something. Yeah, no, undervalued would be how I describe Ronaldo Lopez. Great year, under 3 ERA, looked good. Yeah, I'm drafting Ronaldo Lopez everywhere, and because obviously, like, people don't believe in him. Maybe they remember the injury. Also, maybe because he has a complete lack of track record of success, that could be it too. But he looked good before his injury. I think he's going to be that good. Not a 3.5 ERA. Yeah, I'll bet that. I think he's got something figured out with the coaches and. I'm down with Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah, I'm down with OPP as well. All right, a pitcher that I really, really like coming into this year is Spencer Schwellenbach. Young arm, got the run, got better and better as the year went on. The second half was ridiculous. Broke it down with Bloomfield on our top 20 starting pitching episode. The strikeouts were phenomenal as the season went on. The ratios were really good. I think there's maybe another level to this kid. 83 ADP right now. Where are you at on Schwellenbach?
I'm in the same boat. We all see the same thing, right? There's no counter argument to how good he looked. The metrics back it up. He's on the Braves. He's got a cool name. So that's the most childish thing I ever said. Look, yeah, but or Schwelly, as I call him, looks good. I do kind of worry, you know. You like there may be a little sophomore slump situation. Maybe there's a book on him now, Narrative Street, and his ADP is real high. Like that may be expecting a little much. I probably won't have any shares of him because, you know, people are just going all in on it, and I get it. And I just talked up Ronaldo Lopez after one season, but you know, Spencer Schwellenbach, I believe. But that ADP is high. What do you think?
Yeah, I have a few. I don't have a lot, but I have a few. Like as an SP2, if I want to have a more pitcher-heavy build, I'm involved in that one. So I like him. I do. The price is high, and that's just one thing that people have realized with me this draft season. I'm just not a very aggressive early pitcher type guy, but I do like Schwellenbach. He fits my molds if I want to, and I think there's another level there. I could be wrong because he is still young, like you said. You know, the name of baseball is, you know, people get a book on you after one time through. You got to be able to make the adjustments type thing. I felt like you made those last year in the second half, but we shall see. I do understand your trepidation there.
Yeah, he's kind of going in like we mentioned earlier, like Justin Steele range, mm-hmm. or maybe before, or like Hunter Green range, which I've never considered drafting Hunter Green until recently for the Cincinnati Reds. But I looked at his last season a little bit harder. This is ace stuff. Ace metrics, ace whiff rate, elite K rate. Like, I'm not sure why I've been sleeping on Hunter Green, and I think it's because he kind of got blown up once or twice at the beginning of the season. But, man, his second – I mean, like, look at his ER. Look at all that stuff. Hunter Green – it is ace situation. Like if Spencer Schwellenbach put up the numbers Hunter Green did last year,
yeah,
you know, you'd be ecstatic. But you know, but he may be going actually ahead of Hunter Green, so, which I like it. I love Schwellenbach's a great pitcher, but if you miss on him, you got other options.
Yep. I'm with you there. A name you mentioned earlier that I'm very excited for this year, and I'm honestly surprised to see Grant Holmes has an ADP of 305 right now, because I will jump on an ADP of 305 all day. If it fails, so be it. But I loved what we saw, especially late in the season with Grant Holmes. Where are you standing on Grant?
All in. It's I don't care what the river cut. I'm not doing the math. I'm not doing anything. I'm all in on Grant Holmes, 28 years old. You know, he was a first round draft pick from the Dodgers. So now he's in Atlanta. 68 innings pitched, a 3.56 ERA, 1.1 WHIP last year, 70 Ks, so K per inning. That's awesome. Elite whiff rate, elite chase rate. And when I say elite, I'm talking like 97th percentile chase rate. Like they're swinging at his stuff. The major league hitters are. His XRA is lower than his ERA. And I get it, 68 innings. And that's when Sale went down. They brought him up. But what do you want him to do? You know, like everything looks great. All his StatCast metrics back it up. He's on the Braves. He's SP4, so I mean, it's not like the world, you know, the weight of the world is on your shoulders or anything. As we discussed, I think Sale's going to have a down year, and I don't want that, but that's just my opinion. So I think Grant Holmes is going to have a full-time rotation spot for the year. So you're going to get elite whiff rate, elite chase rate, good stuff. He's 28. He's not a kid that's never been to the big leagues before. So he's getting his shot, and Bubba, he looks like Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down, and not to be childish, but that's a recipe for success.
I'm with you. If we get any clips during spring training in Florida of him cruising around on a wave runner or something, I'm going to be going all in like you on Grant Holmes, but I have plenty of shares. I like him quite a bit. You mentioned he's the fourth starter. There is a fifth starter until Spencer Strider comes back, of course. Right now, it's kind of between Ian Anderson, AJ Smith-Shawver. I really don't know where to go in this one. Do you have any thoughts on these two guys?
AJ Smith-Shawver had like four innings and got hurt. I mean, not that you're going to give up on him or anything, but we haven't really seen anything from the big league level of AJ Smith-Shawver, and he may be good, but we've already seen 68 innings of Grant Holmes, and we know that's good. So. True. We'll see. Ian Anderson, you know, no thanks. I'll pass on that. You know, they brought up Hurston Waldrop, who could be a possible rotation guy, but he got cranked in the major leagues last year, and then he had like elbow inflammation. So I don't know how all that's going to work out, but yeah, it's strange. Like you've got Spencer Strider, who could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, like kind of like Jacob DeGrom-esque, you know, dominant, you know, when he was with the Mets. Like Spencer Strider is that type of, you know, dominant pitcher. And Chris Sale had like the best season of his career. But both those guys are kind of hurt. So like who's taking up the Braves mantle here? Who would have thought it's Reynaldo Lopez and Grant Holmes, you know? But the Braves have great coaches, great pitchers, pitching staff, you know, organization is run right. So, yeah, I'm betting on Grant Holmes and I'm not running away from AJ Smith-Shawver. Like if you want to take a shot at him, but, you know.
I've taken a few DC shares, but yeah, I'm pretty much like once Spencer's back, those two are back in AAA till an injury takes place and kind of see where that one goes. Type deal.
Exactly.
Ahead of the bullpen, you got Raisel Iglesias to me, who's one of the top five closers in baseball. Just consistently year in and year out, puts up, you know, high 20s, if not 30 saves. Ratios are decent. Strikeouts are good. Like, just you kind of know what to expect from Raisel Iglesias. So I'm always interested in him, and he's kind of one of the last ones before things drop off a bit at the top end of the closing situation.
Yeah,
his ADP right now is almost 50. So where are you sitting on Iglesias? And again, these are DC ADPs. When we get to FAB, the closer should go a little lower.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're talking draft and hold leagues. Like you're not drafting, you know, Iglesias in a 12 team redraft. You know, anywhere near the fifth round or whatever.
Yeah, I've been doing some like mock 12-team mocks for fantasy pros, and
aren't they fun?
Yeah, and it's quick and easy and simple on that little deal because I have to do them for my articles. So I just do it by myself, and it just fills it out like 5 minutes. I'm done. And Iglesias usually is more like a seventh, eighth round pick, if not like he's closer to an ADP of 100. Let's put it that way, than 50.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, in a draft and hold league, you got to get one of those top five closers. And then take a shot at like the Arizona closer, or maybe Kenley, like, you know, whatever. But yeah, he's one of those guys like Hader, Devin Williams, Class A. And if you don't want to, you want to skip one of those top guys, then yeah, Rosell Iglesias is steady Eddie. Now you kind of look at his ERA and you're kind of like, what's, you know, but he's still producing. So, I don't know. I think you just got to keep going, you know, going with them. So in a draft and hold league, if your first closer off the board that for your team is Rosell Iglesias, I think that's cool. What do you think?
Yep. I've been doing that in most drafts. If I don't get really aggressive and get Devin Williams, but if I get really aggressive, I usually make a point to get Rosell Iglesias. So I get one of those boys if I can.
What do you think? How would you rank? Would you like Class A had a great year, but he kind of got blown up a little bit at the end.
I think
his K rate's not great.
No, I'm concerned about him. I think I have him like slipping third right now. I have to go back and check. I'm updating all my rankings here pretty soon. He concerns me a bit. I still have, like, I think I like Hader better. Iglesias, I like probably pretty close to a Class A, I mean, honestly.
Devin Williams didn't play much.
No, I love
him. He's being drafted as a top three closer.
Oh, I love him because he missed the first half of the year with the back injury.
Right.
And then he came back and was filthy. He goes to the Bronx. I'll take the bait. I'll take the bait. So we're fine there. What other bullpen pieces are you looking at? God forbid something happens to Rosell Iglesias now that we just loved him so much.
I was going to say AJ Minter, but then I realized
he's gone.
He gone. Yeah. One of my favorite players from the Braves recently. AJ, no, I'm not looking at anybody else in that bullpen whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with you. If Iglesias goes down, we're just in trouble. Is the way.
You just mark that off the list and hope that you know round 30 flyer Porter Hodge or whoever it was. Yep.
Outside of Drake Baldwin, what kind of prospects are we looking at this year? Like we talked about Nacho, he's still ranked pretty high with them. Anybody else you might see, like, good God, looking at Fangraphs, AJ Smith Shovers, their number one prospect still. That's pretty entertaining to me.
He still has prospect status because those four innings, he just got blown up. So they didn't take away from him. Like, Cam Caminiti isn't on the 40-man, and we're not going to see him this year. Waldrop, it's between Waldrop and Baldwin. Nacho Alvarez, they rushed him, so I don't think they're going to do that again. Yeah, yeah. Drake Baldwin's the only one I would draft in a draft and hold league.
Yep, I'm with you as well. All right, final thoughts. What do you expect from the Braves this year? Like, how do you think they finish things off in a 2025 season?
I think they're going to have a bounce back year. I think they're going to have a slow beginning to the year. And then Spencer Strider and Acuna are going to settle in, and then they're going to have make a push for the division in the second half, and we'll see how injuries go. But it's going to be a bounce back year. So, you know, I don't want, I'm not buying early on second or third or first, which is kind of like the areas that Atlanta is going to bounce back in. So from a fantasy perspective, other than Grant Holmes and Profar, I'm not really drafting anybody else from the Braves, given you're not getting any sort of discount whatsoever on their top end players, which is cool. Yep. But I'm going to try something else. But from a real life, I keep cutting you off. I'm sorry. But from a real life perspective, they're coached so well. The organization is good. Like, you know, in last year was such a bummer. Like, I don't know what their win total is. I haven't looked at Pecota or Vegas or anything like that. But yeah, I think they're going to all bounce back. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough division. You got the Phillies, obviously. The Nationals will be slightly improved. The Mets are obviously much, much better. And then you have the Marlins, of course. But there is going to be a battle. I think we could see three playoff teams come out of the East. Wouldn't be shocked at all. Two wild cards, obviously, and the East champion. I think the Braves will bounce back. But the key to this, and it's a big if, like we talked about throughout the show, Chris Sale's got to stay healthy. They need Ronaldo Lopez to stay healthy. They need Schwellenbach to keep developing. And like their pitching is going to be the big thing. I think the bats bounce back. I'm with you there. The pitching was so good last year. We're going to need that again as this division gets tougher and tougher. So that's tricky. And on the fantasy side of things, I agree. It's like, I love this team for fantasy. That's why I play them in DFS a ton. They're perfect for that. Underdog, great for that. You can do a lot of things. But their ADPs, like you mentioned, it's just like last year and previous seasons, you got to pay the piper. And it's just tricky when you're trying to build out a competitive team to fit all the spots based on where their ADPs are. It gets tricky. Very, very tricky for sure.
Super tricky. I'm with you. I would love to bet on the Braves at Truist Park against anybody, you know, and I'll take the over too if it's nine or whatever. But yeah, but you know, the problem is their two superstars aren't starting the season healthy. Yep. And no matter, in an MLB of great players, when your two superstars aren't healthy, that's no good. That's good. That is some key analysis that you can only get from an Atlanta Braves fan like me.
Yeah, there you go.
That no good.
But and the thing is, it's like you said, it's the two best players. And those are like their two biggest question marks. And that's not a place where you want to start things out to get a lot of confidence, to say the least.
Nope, it really isn't.
All right, my friend. We covered them. We covered the Braves. I appreciate you joining me on this mission. That was a ton of fun, a very intriguing team, to say the least. Before we head out of here, plug your stuff. Let them know where you can find you.
Thank you very much. I'm at the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. Me, Michael Govier, and our Michael Virginia. We talk about fantasy baseball. We have fun with it. We are doing draft prep episodes. We usually live stream on Fridays. If you want to check us out, please go to YouTube and type in Palazzo, 2 L's, 2 Z's, fantasy baseball, and come do it. We're not doing it this Friday because Valentine's Day plans. Smart move. You know, that type of thing. Right. So, But come to the YouTube and look at our videos. We have a good time. And also, if you want to download our podcast too, it's also wherever you can download podcasts. Palazzo, thank you so much for letting me come on, Bubba. I can talk fantasy baseball with you for hours, and you better be careful unless you want to use the safe word for me to stop talking. Because otherwise, I just go on and on and on.
Well, I love it, man. It was fun, and we will definitely chat again sometime soon. After I tell everybody, after these preview shows are done, we're going to do some more draft prep stuff and everything, and I'm going to do a bunch of have multiple guests on at the same time, have some fun doing a little roundtable action. So I'll get you on for some of those, and we'll chat it up again soon.
I'm in. Thank you very much. And also, for fans of Bubba and the Bloom, I'm doing a live stream.
Yes.
With Kevin Hastings on Monday, President's Day. We're live streaming our auction draft, the Bubba and the Bloom auction draft. So if you would go over to their Discord, and we'll post a link up, and you know, come watch me and Kevin Hastings. I'm not sure what's going to happen, so you may just want to see what happens.
It's going to be pure, unadulterated fun, folks. So I recommend checking it out. But everybody, make sure you follow Britton on Twitter at Britton Allen, A-L-L-A-N. Until next time, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 737, your Atlanta Braves team preview. Catch you all next time.